All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, as promised, my good friend, Mr. Max Reichman. He is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Hey, Max, how you doing? How's the weather in D.C.?
It's springtime.
Oh, so you've got the cherry blossoms, huh?
They've come and gone.
Oh, they have. It's been that warm, huh?
Yeah. They had the cherry blossom festival has happened, and they're on their way out now.
Well, I got to tell you, we've been suffering.
How's your weather?
You really don't want to know. it's been hovering around 45, 40, 30s, snow, haven't seen the sun a couple days in the last, you really don't want to know.
I grew up in Nebraska, so I sympathize.
So let's talk about the fact that, from what I understand, the Social Security offices are going to be opened again.
Yes, finally. We're very pleased, and I'm sure all those folks that need to go to a Social Security office that have been waiting for 2 years pretty much since the beginning of the pandemic. We met with the acting commissioner of Social Security a few weeks ago, and we're told that they were going to open. They started to open last Thursday, and people are able to go down there and have face-to-face meetings. It's important, especially for seniors. They're not always equipped to deal with Social Security on the internet. Some of them don't have the connectivity to do that successfully. I don't know if you've ever tried to call the 800 number of Social Security. If you have, you know you're going to be on hold for could be hours. So it's very gratifying to see that they're opening the offices. I would say to your listeners, to your audience, if you don't have to go immediately, wait, because there's a huge backlog, a pent-up demand of people who want to visit the Social Security office, whether it's for a replacement card or filing a claim, a disability claim. If you can wait a little while, it's probably best. Also call and make an appointment so that you don't have to wait outside. You wouldn't want to do that with your weather, right, as you explained it to me. So it's going to take a little while for all of this to sort out, but we're hoping that eventually people can get in as they need to.
You know, Max, for as someone who's had to spend some time at the Social Security office before all of this occurred, it was always an odyssey. I mean, it was always a lot of people long before there was any COVID. So, so I can, you know, for those who haven't had to deal with that at all, count yourself as lucky. I can't even begin to imagine after 2 years, the number of people who are now going to be lined up to have to take care of serious business. Anything that happens at the Social Security office is serious business.
Absolutely. And you know, that's why I caution people to, if they can, to wait a little while and not be stuck in long lines. But, you know, you make such a good point. Social Security has been underfunded for years. I think the actual inflation-adjusted funding to run the program has decreased about 13% in the last 10 or so years. And the number of people qualifying for benefits has grown tremendously. So there are more people needing the services, less money available. And that's why even before the pandemic, you saw many offices around the country were closed because of the budget constraints. They had shortened or reduced hours for those that remained open. And as I mentioned, the 800 number, which was touted so highly for years, has been a real ordeal. I once testified a few years ago, before the pandemic, on Social Security Administration, before the House Ways and Means Subcommittee on Social Security, and I wanted to make a point about how long it took to get through on the 800 number. So I was on a panel of, I think, four people, and when we were called to the witness table, I had my cell phone, I dialed the 800 number. About an hour later, when it was my turn to testify, I was still on hold, and I held up my phone, and I was just trying to make a point to the members of that House panel that they needed to do something to help Social Security provide the service that they're meant to provide. And fortunately, this last budget that was folded in, the big budget bill that passed the Congress about a month ago, added some money to the Social Security program. Not enough. Not what Social Security initially submitted as a request, but it was an improvement. But, you know, there's a lot of catching up to do to make sure that the offices are properly staffed and they have the right equipment, computers to deal with the needs of the people.
You know, Max, you know, the old axiom, until you walk a mile in my shoes, you know, right. As a young person, I knew nothing about the Social Security office. You know, as a very young boy, I needed to get a Social Security card. So, you know, you needed that to even be able to work as a young boy. But other than that, I had no understanding or idea the different things that happened at the Social Security office. And so when you get there, and you think that most of this is strictly to deal with Social Security, but there's so many other things that are going on at the Social Security office that, you know, it's why the numbers are so great of people who are there. You know, people just think of, you know, Social Security. But they deal with many different entities that people deal with on a daily basis that they can't get taken care of anywhere else.
Yeah. You know, what's surprising is despite those difficulties and coming into, even before the pandemic, and getting assistance, Social Security is one of the top two most popular components of the federal government: the Park Service and Social Security. And it's because the Social Security pays you when you're entitled to benefits. You get paid on time, in full, for 85 years. That's a pretty good record, and it's reliable. The services need to be addressed, and that is based on adequate funding. And what I really find astounding is that the Social Security program has a surplus, right? $2.9 trillion by design to build up a reserve to start taking care of baby boomers as they have started to retire. So this money, the Social Security program, is largely funded, the actual administration of it, all those offices, all those employees all over the country, is funded mostly out of the payroll tax. So it's, you know, the government is not going into deficit in funding Social Security because there is a surplus. And when you pay your payroll tax, your FICA tax, you're not only expecting to receive your benefits when you qualify, you're expecting to have the adequate service, and you're paying for that. It's part of the funding of the program, as I said, is largely out of that payroll tax. So I think it's important that members of Congress, and I've talked to many, many of them, realize this. And we write every year, we write to the appropriations committees, to the leadership in the House and the Senate, urging them to add money to the Social Security Administration, and we make that point. And thankfully now, the President Biden's budget that was included in the March and the big funding bill did add money for Social Security. Not enough, as I said, but it's a good start.
So, Max, that should be a no-brainer for Congress, that Social Security, is the seniors vote. Without question, the higher percentage of seniors vote than any other demographic in a society. And you know, be you Democrat or Republican, you're concerned about votes. That seems to be a no-brainer that nobody in Congress would balk at that.
Well, you know, the fact that it's a no-brainer hasn't had the kind of impact. I agree with you. It hasn't had the kind of impact that you would think.
Max, do you think it's because people, the citizenry is just not savvy enough to understand that at the root of any issues at all, and the fact that there aren't many issues, you know, my Social Security check is there every month on time, as you stated, that they don't foresee this as a major problem, major issue?
Well, they should. You know, you're right. Seniors vote in very high percentages. And, you know, I wonder sometimes if people in running for Congress or in Congress take that for granted.
So, Max, I need you to hold the thought. Hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. My guest is Mr. Max Reichman. He is the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. We'll be back. Because I sure am using you.